Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. Now, to mark World Day Against Child Labour tomorrow, we're discussing what actions need to be taken now to ensure that all forms of child labour are eliminated by 2025. We speak now to Jodlin Mitra, Technical Officer with the International Labour Organization. Jodlin, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. Now, we had a chat to Bharati just now to talk a little bit about the global situation, especially with the recent report by the ILO and UNICEF. But I'm just wondering if we could focus a little bit more on the current situation regarding child labour here in Malaysia. Maybe you could help us understand what the situation was like before the pandemic and what the latest data shows now. I understand that this current report doesn't actually cover the impact of COVID-19, but what do we understand about the local situation?
Thank you very much, Melissa, and thanks for having me here. So there is no national child labor statistics, unfortunately, in Malaysia to give us, you know, the prevalence rate of child labor in the country, even before the pandemic. But we do know that, you know, with the pandemic, the issue of child labor globally is really exacerbated. But there are anecdotal evidence from different organizations. And also recently, there was a study from the government on the oil palm plantations about child labor and forced labor. So this gives us some picture. ILO also did a background study for the development of the National Action Plan on Child Labor in 2019. And according to these studies, child labor, though, exists in Malaysia, but in certain pockets or, you know, sectors in the country. Non-Malaysians who are children of migrant workers, refugees, and stateless persons, they are really the most vulnerable to child labor because of primarily their undocumented status that lead to lack of access to education and other social services. And also their parents encounter legal barriers to enable them to access decent work, or in the case of the refugees, because they do not have the legal right to work in the country. However, this does not mean that, you know, that there are no Malaysian children in child labor, because even the survey on plantations show that there's actually 2/3 of those, you know, found in child labor are Malaysian. So even if many of the Malaysian children, they work with their parents, they could still be working in hazardous conditions or with working hours and duration that are not allowed by the national law. While it may not be very visible in some areas, you know, but there are child laborers in the plantations and in small holdings on the streets peddling goods. Like if you go to Sabah and in some shops and mamak stalls in different states in Malaysia. But we have to be clear again that, you know, in here, there are also children in these sectors that work, but they are not considered as child labor. So, for instance, if, let's say, a 13-year-old child, you know, this is above the minimum age for light work, so allowed by law to work, and she works in a mamak stall owned by her family after school hours and, you know, finish work before 8 o'clock in the evening so she can rest well, have time to play and prepare for school the following day, and does not do anything that is harmful or hazardous, then that would not be child labor. But we know that there are children who work long hours and whose health and school attendance are affected, which are the child labor cases that we see in Malaysia. So some stakeholders also share.
Sorry, if I could just kind of interrupt you. You know, I understand that Malaysia has ratified the ILO Minimum Age Convention, the C-138, and the Worst Forms of Child Labor Convention, C-182. And then this must be a good thing for the country. And that in November 2019, Malaysia also expressed interest in becoming part of the Alliance 8.7 Pathfinder country. Could you help us understand, you know, if the ratification of all these conventions and these aspirations that he set out in 2019, you know, really translate into better welfare for children the ground? I mean, it's all well and good to ratify conventions that impact children directly.
Well, that's a very good question. The ratification is, you know, it shows commitment of the country. But however, it's really the application of these conventions that would matter. And in the case of Malaysia, there are actions, you know, done by the country to implement the commitments in these conventions. But for instance, you know, awareness raising that's being done on the identified sectors like the plantation, the development of the National Action Plan for Child Labor is already being started by the Ministry of Human Resources. The National Action Plan on anti-trafficking has also been developed with child labor provisions in it. But then, you know, we need more initiatives, you know, to really see an impact in this. And I think that's the important point to consider, that, you know, child labor, it's not unique to Malaysia, but every country in the world has child labor. What sets a country apart, though, from the others on this issue is how they address it and whether the responses they are appropriate. So
Jodeline, can I ask you this? Because you started out by saying the country doesn't in fact collect data on this. How can you, you know, design policy interventions when you don't understand what's out there because you're not collecting data? How do you match the apparent commitment with this fundamental gap in, you know, the process of formulating policies that would be effective?
Yeah. So the data that are, you know, for example, that the National Action Plan on Child Labor, it's based on the available data, quantitative, qualitative data from different organizations, and in the sectoral data as well, like the Plantation Survey. So in a way, there are available data there. And of course, the administrative data from the enforcement, you know, activities like from Department of Labor, these are already useful. So countries do not need to actually wait until there is a national survey to see that there is a problem, because obviously there are problems, and based on consultations with the stakeholders, this already comes out. In fact, one initiative under the National Action Plan for Child Labor could be having this national survey on children, and that would really show also that, you know, that the country sees that it's good to monitor the progress of whether later there will be a decline on the issue of child labor, and these are being considered by Malaysia already. So it's something that, you know, these efforts are also encouraging. And but in addition to that, of course, addressing the issue on policy enforcement and prevention measures would be needed to make significant impact. And ILO right. did share recommendations on this.
Right. Jodeline, can I ask you, I mean, there's no really one-size-fits-all type of solution when it comes to this in any country. I'm just wondering, for Malaysia specifically, you mentioned certain policy recommendations and you talked about legislation and enforcement, but I'm wondering what else can be done, given that so much ground has been lost, particularly because of the pandemic. What else can be done to accelerate the process to end all forms of child labour?
All right. First, it's still important that, you know, that the policies on child labor, like in Sabah and Sarawak, have to be aligned with the ILO conventions, because there are currently gaps, critical gaps there that would make, you know, children as young as 7 years old work in child labor. And also enforcement of these laws is very challenging and could be made more strategic. At the same time, we should recognize that this is beyond just enforcement, that there are really root causes that have to be addressed with sustainable and human rights-centered approaches. For instance, you know, as we speak, some of those children in extreme poverty may be on the streets scrambling with where their next meal would come from. So we need to address the issue about, you know, poverty and see also how we can have right to provide education for all to all children in Malaysia and decent work for all adults. And not addressing these issues would have very severe, you know, socioeconomic consequences, low-skilled workforce, low productivity, supply chain disruptions. But then at the same time, in addressing the root causes, consider this. why would parents of child laborers still send their children to child labor? These parents should have access to decent work, and their rights should be protected legally so they can earn decent living to support the needs of their family, so children don't have to earn for their family. And a free public education should be made accessible to children, like what we mentioned. And at the same time, you know, from the employer side, they also need support to address the labor shortage issues that they encounter with sustainable solutions. And this relates as well to good national labor migration policy. They also need technical assistance to enable them to be more competitive and productive while complying with labor standards. These employers who want to engage the 13 to 17 years old to work legally, they need clear guidance so the working conditions and the nature of work of these children are not in violation of the relevant laws. It's really like, you know, it's different actors with specific roles in this movement. So government needs to make the policy changes, but the members of the public could help raise awareness and advocate for children's rights. The parents, the children, they need to be more aware about child labor. Businesses here have to be responsible, you know, in terms of their labor practices. Trade unions can include child labor provisions in their collective bargaining agreements. Community leaders, they need to be more involved in the issue. This problem is happening in the villages. Yeah.
Okay, very quickly, can I ask you, you've been watching the country, we know what ought to be done, but is it being done? Is that, what's your sense of what's happened the last year?
Yes, yes. I've been here actually for almost 4 years now, and we've been working closely with the government, you know, on addressing child labor issues through our project, Bridge Project, funded by the U.S. Department of Labor. So there are really important developments that's been done in terms of like, first having this this National Action Plan for Child Labor, which is a comprehensive action plan that's being developed, a multi-stakeholder approach. And at the same time, the survey on plantations, you know, to understand what are the issues there, what are the forms of hazards that children have, and what are the different, how this could be useful for policy development, the awareness-raising activities. And so this, we do see that there are important steps that are happening, and this needs to be, you know, bolstered in a sense.
Okay, thank you so much. That was Jodlyn Mitra, Technical Officer with the International Labour Organization. And that wraps up our show for tonight. You've been watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
We will be back with you same time on Monday. Till then, have a great weekend and good night.